Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark again, and it is my pleasure to be able to share in the Daily Inspiration. Usually I try to get this message on before 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a little bit late today, but I was really encouraged and just kept looking at different things here and studying. And it's what we've been looking at is this week is considering some things from the book of Proverbs, things that we can all apply to our lives so that we can make wise choices in life, and things that we can teach our children so that they would make wise choices in their lives. That's my burden for this week. That's my emphasis. And there are several main themes in the book of Proverbs. On the 17th and 18th, we looked at the fear of the Lord. And yesterday we looked at wisdom and how wisdom cries out in the streets. And we're going to continue our study of wisdom from the book of Proverbs this morning. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for each one that has called in today and listened to this message. Father, I do pray that as the name of this is called the Daily Inspiration, I pray that you would give inspiration to each one of us and today and through this message, that you would inspire us to move forward in our Christian lives, move forward in our living for you, Lord. I do thank you and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, there's over 50 times this word Proverbs is used in, or sorry, this word wisdom is used in Proverbs over 50 times in this one book alone. There's actually 6 different Hebrew words that are translated wisdom in the King James Bible. And if I kind of lost you there, is the Old Testament was written mostly in Hebrew. And so when the translators, the English translators, translated a Hebrew word, you know, they would have to decide what English word they're going to put with that Hebrew word. Well, there's actually 6 different Hebrew words that are translated into English as the word wisdom, or one word, wisdom. They come from 6 different Hebrew words. And so the main one, though, is this word, if you have a Strong's Concordance, it would be 2450. That would be the adjective of the word. The noun would be 2,451. That's the Strong's number. That's the noun. And the verb would be 2,449. So we have 49, 50, and 51. And I just want to read a little bit out of Vine's. This is Vine's expository dictionary. And he talks about this word, 2,450. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar by any means. And so I'm sure I'm going to say this name wrong, or the word, but it's hakam would be the Hebrew word, hakam, which would be the adjective. It's often translated wise or skillful or practical. And also, that's the adjective of this word. But it says this word plus the noun, and that would be maybe pronounced hakmath, and the verb to be wise, and the verb to be wise signify an important element of the Old Testament religious point of view. Religious experience was not a routine, a ritual, or a faith experience. It was viewed as a mastery of the art of living in accordance with God's expectations. And then further down in Vine's dictionary, it says, and the hakam in secular usage, signifies a man who was a skillful craftsman. The manufacturers of the objects belonging to the tabernacle were known to be wise. The manufacturers, these makers of the objects belonging to the tabernacle, were known to be wise or experienced in their crafts. Exodus 36:4. So then a little bit later here in this, what he writes here about this word, it says the religious sense, see that was the practical sense about a craftsman being skilled. The religious sense of hakam excludes delusion. It excludes craftiness, shrewdness, and magic. God is the source of wisdom, as he is wise. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and not call back his words. That word evil, I believe, would be judgment. He will bring judgment and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. The man or woman who, fearing God, lives in accordance with what God expects and what is expected of him in a God-fearing society is viewed as an integrated person. He is wise in that his manner of life projects the fear of God, and the blessing of God rests upon him. Even as the craftsman is said to be skilled in his trade, the Old Testament hakam was learning and applying wisdom to every situation in life, and the degree in which he succeeded was a barometer of his progress on the road of wisdom. The opposite of hakam is the fool or wicked person who stubbornly refuses counsel and depends on his own understanding for the, and this is a quote out of Proverbs 1, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So I hope I didn't lose you there. This word, it's in a religious sense, it's talking about somebody who listens to God, somebody who is follows the way of the Lord and fears God and makes good choices. Yesterday we defined wisdom. I'll go back to that. It says, I gave this definition. Wisdom is the ability to make choices that guarantee a good outcome. And also wisdom is knowledge practically applied to the best ends. So the thing that I really want us to see here is that if we would desire wisdom, and if we would get wisdom, we would not go in a foolish way. If our children would desire to be wise, to desire to have wisdom, they would not go in a foolish way. And that's the burden of this week's messages, is that we could implant that into our children in a way of teaching, in a way of going through Proverbs, in a way of discussing things and pointing out. In the next couple days, what I would like to do is to look at the fool, point out how the fool he's making stupid choices, and it is causing him a lot of grief and sorrow. We don't want our children to go that way, so identify and help them to identify foolish ways. And in that, as it said here in the vines here at the very end, it says the opposite of hakam is the fool or wicked person who stubbornly refuses counsel and depends on his own understanding. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And so my burden here is that we would be able to help our children to see and recognize what it is to be a fool, what it is to make foolish choices, to go in our own understanding and all those kind of things, And instead of walking in the fear of God and having the wisdom of God. So that's, I think, a key to having our children become mature and make mature choices and not go the way of a fool and not be lost to this wicked world. So that's my hope. That's my burden. And I see that that's what Proverbs is telling us. If we would read Proverbs, if we would study Proverbs, if we would teach these things to our children, and they're practical things, all these practical things, but in that, we're getting the wisdom of God. And let's see how wisdom comes. Let's see. How do we get wisdom? How do our children get wisdom? Well, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So a wise man will hear. So how do we get wisdom? We hear, and we will increase learning. We need to hear. There needs to be a willingness to hear. Verses 22 and 23, in chapter 1, says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And this is wisdom that is crying out and in wanting people to follow in the way of wisdom. And so how do we get wisdom? It's through repentance. "Turn you at my reproof." Repent of your foolishness. Repent of your love for simplicity, these simple ones, and the scorning and hating knowledge, the knowledge of God. So it's by repentance. How do we get wisdom? It's by repentance. Same chapter, verse 33. "But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So it's, here again, it's hearing, hearkening, or hearing from wisdom. And that's not just the hearing of the ear. It's not just hearing something, but it's actually, obeying from the heart. That's the hearken that I believe he's talking about here. It's not just hearing some words in our ears. That's how we're going to get wisdom. But it's when we hear these things and obey, we're going to get wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So how do we get wisdom? It's the Lord giveth wisdom. Well, how does he give wisdom? He gives wisdom through his word. He gives wisdom through even the things like we talked about yesterday, how wisdom cries out in the streets. He gives wisdom for us to see things that aren't wise sometimes. Somebody who dies in a motorcycle accident because he's going way too fast, or he's being foolish and stuff, and he dies, that's wisdom crying out. So the Lord puts those things in front of us for us to see what wisdom isn't like and what it is like. You know, we can see people that are driving safely and carefully and never get into an accident, or at least that it's not their fault. And so the Lord gives wisdom, and how does he give it? He gives it through his word, through life experiences, and we can hear those things, we can hearken unto those things, and obey those things from our heart, and not be as the fool. Okay, and then also chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee." So how do we get wisdom? We have to love wisdom. It says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." It's a good thing. We have to love wisdom. So there are many other verses. Like I say, there's over 50 times that the word wisdom is used. So there's a lot of other verses that we could look at. But I want to close with this is a command to get wisdom. And this is chapter 4 in verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And it's not unattainable to us. It is attainable. It's attainable to our children for us to get wisdom. And it's a command for us to get wisdom. And it says it's the principal thing. So that's where I'm going to close today. The Lord bless you. And tomorrow I think we're going to try to look at some of the things of a fool, maybe, or not exactly sure right now, but see where we go for tomorrow. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in.